Today's shiur is Masechta Bei Daf Chaf Hei, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Dalet on Mabeis, five lines from the bottom. Amra Papa Hilchasa. The halacha is Nachri Shehevi Doron LiYisrael BeYontif. If a guy brings a Jew a gift on Yontif, Im Yesh Ma'isim Imim Mechuber. If there's something, in other words, a guy brings a fruit to a Jew on Yontif as a gift, if there is such fruit still attached to the tree, also, you may not eat that fruit. Because the guy did a malacha on behalf of a Jew. He cut the fruit. Furthermore, says the Gemara, well, Erev Nami Asurin, at night, Matzah Yontif, you're also not allowed to eat the fruit, Bechtei Shiasu, the amount of time it takes to cut the fruit. So there's a fundamental machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, how to understand this Gemara. Rashi explains that the point in this Gemara is that we're not allowed to have hano, we're not allowed to benefit from the malacha that a guy does on our behalf on Yontif. Therefore, says Rashi, we have to not eat the fruit that was cut, and moreover, we have to wait Matzah Yontif until the amount of time it takes to cut the fruit. Taisus has a very different approach. Taisus' approach is that the reason Chazal made this gezeira is in order that we should not come to tell a guy to do malacha. If we're going to be allowed to benefit from his malacha, we may come to tell a guy to do a malacha on our behalf. And the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos have a lot of ramifications la'loch l'maisa. One example is the example Rashi gives. Rashi says, let's say you have a 2-day yontif. Yontif is Tuesday, Wednesday. And a guy brought a gift, brought you this fruit on Tuesday. According to Rashi, on Tuesday night, after Bechtei Shiyasu, you could eat the fruit. Why? Because Rashi says, manashach. If the first day is Yontif, so you waited Matzah Yontif till after Bechtei Shiyasu, and you could eat the fruit. If the first day is not Yontif, because the second day is Yontif, so then the guy didn't do anything wrong. However, according to Tosfos, the consideration is that we shouldn't come to tell the guy to do Malacha. So therefore, eating it on Matzah Yontif, or on the second day, will give us an incentive again to tell a guy to do Malacha on our behalf, and therefore, according to Tosfos, he can't eat it not on the second day of Yontif either. There is an interesting shaila. The Ramah holds like Tosfos, and he says that's why you shouldn't eat this fruit, not on the first day Yontif, not on the second day Yontif. What would be the halacha if Yontif was Thursday, Friday, Shabbos? Would you not be allowed to eat the fruit Shabbos either? The Ramah seems to be makel in that situation, that Shabbos you could already eat it, but both days Yontif, according to Tosfos, you can't eat it. Another nafkamina is, what is the definition of Bechtei Shiyasu? According to Rashi, that the definition is that you're not allowed to have hano from the goy. So Bechtei Shiyasu means the amount of time it takes to do the malacha. So if cutting the apple that he brought you takes a minute, you have to wait a minute after Matzah Shabbos. If according to Tosfos the concern is that we shouldn't come to tell a goy to do malacha, so we're going to save time by the goy doing malacha on our behalf, so we have to wait Matzah Shabbos, not only the amount of time it takes him to cut the fruit, the amount of time it took him to go to the fruit and then to bring the fruit back. The similar to via Shaila, what would be if the guy only arrived on a Matzah Yontif with the fruit? According to Rashi, perhaps you could use it. You're not being Nana. According to Tosfos, we're going to gain by him coming a couple of minutes after Yontif, so we have to wait the amount of time it takes for him to do the entire malacha. Now there's another nafkamina. Here, these two nafkaminas, Rashi was more machman than Tosfos. But there's a nafkamina where Tosfos is more, Rashi was more makel than Tosfos. But there's nafkamina where Tosfos is more makel. One is, let's say the guy brought it for one specific Jew. So what would be the status with another Jew? According to Rashi, that you're not allowed to have hanah from a malacha that was done on Yontif, it makes a difference if he did it on my behalf or he did it on somebody else's behalf. You can't have hanah from it. According to Tosfos, that the concern is that I shouldn't come to tell a guy to do it, so then I would be allowed to have hanah. I wasn't the person that the guy brought it for. He brought it for another Jew. Another nafkamina is, what would be the halacha by amira la amira? Well, I didn't tell the guy to do it. The guy told somebody else, and that second guy doesn't know he's doing it on my behalf. According to Rashi, it makes no difference how it happened. If a guy did malacha, the Gemara says, Chazal said, you can't eat that fruit. If on the other hand, if Tosfos is correct, that the guy, we shouldn't come to tell a guy to do malacha on my behalf. Here I didn't tell a guy this guy to do malacha on my behalf. Another guy told him to do it on my behalf, and the second guy doesn't know he's doing it on behalf of a Jew, so perhaps we could be makel. Then Tysus asks, if Rashi is correct, that the reason Chazal were machmer is because you're not allowed to have hanor from malacha of a guy, ask Tysus, what's worse? When a guy does malacha, or when a Jew does malacha? Certainly when a guy does malacha. So why is the, certainly when a Jew does malacha. So ask Tysus, why is the halacha, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos discusses it at length, that if a Jew does malacha, b'shogeg, Remeya holds, you're allowed to have hanor. And even Rabbi Yehuda only said shogeg is asr because of gzeirat the mezid. Isn't it worse when a Jew does malacha than when a guy does malacha? So if we're machmer when a guy does malacha, we should certainly be machmer when a Jew does malacha. So according to Tysus, he says it's not a problem. Because by a guy, we're concerned that since it's a guy, you're going to go tell him to do malacha on your behalf. A Jew, you're not going to tell him to do malacha on your behalf, because which Jew is going to listen? That's why Tysus' pshat makes more sense. But according to Rashi, that it's a gzeira, you're not allowed to have hanor from malacha that was done. Be iser, so certainly if a Jew did malacha, you shouldn't have hanor. So the Rosh tries to defend Rashi, and the Rosh says that since a Jew doing melacha on Shabbos Yontov is a milsa de la shchicha lagazav rabbanim, it's a little hard to understand the Rosh, unfortunately. Another interesting shaila: what would be the halacha the Paiskim discuss if the guy did melacha letzayrich mitzvah? A guy prepared a shayfer, a guy cut an esrig or a luluf. Will the same din apply, or since he did it letzayrich mitzvah, we could be more lenient? It's machlokes apayskim. Most payskim are machmer that you're not allowed to have hanor from malacha that a guy did for you on yontif, even if it was letzarich mitzvah. And I saw a similar shaila when a Jew does malacha. What would be the din if a Jew is in Israel, a chutz laaretz Jew is in Israel for yontif, and now it's the second day yontif, and a Jew does malacha on you, for you? The shaila, the way I saw the shaila is, let's say a Jew cuts for you from chutzlar, so you have to hold the second day yontif, aravis, fresh aravis on your behalf. Are you allowed to use those aravis? A guy, certainly we say, you're not allowed to have hanor when a guy does malacha. Here a Jew's doing malacha, what will be the din? So I saw some achlaikis of the Miches Yitzchak and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Miches Yitzchak is machmer. He says, if you can't have hanor from a guy's malacha, if you're not allowed to do the malacha, you can't have hanor when a Jew does the malacha on your behalf either. Nechashleim is Mekel, he says you can't have enough from that malacha. Now the Gemara goes further. Let's say there is no concern that the guy cut the fruit on your behalf, because all the fruits are already cut. But now the issue is, did the guy bring it Taichetchum or Mechutzetchum? Says the Gemara, Taichetchum, if we know that the guy brought it within the Tchum, the Jew allowed to walk, Mutter. Chutzetchum, but if he walked past the Tchum, it's also. Ask the Paiskim, why don't we say mitaych? That just like we're allowed to do malacha on yontif, tchum should be mutter on yontif. Ask the chsam soifer. And if the guy, even if the guy carried it past the tchum, it shouldn't be asr. Says the chsam soifer, that when the Torah says that oichel nefesh is mutter on yontif, the Torah means malacha is mutter. Malacha letzarech oichel nefesh is mutter on yontif. Tchum is not a din of malacha. It's a new din that the Torah said you can't walk past the tchum, and for that there's no heter on yontif. Ask the Paiskim, but a different question. Perhaps the guy had this fruit in a warehouse, and this fruit should be muksa. Which actually Rashi points out that besides the problem of having hanor from the guy's malacha, there's an issue that this fruit is muksa, because if the fruit was attached in the previous case to the tree before yontif, even Rav Shimon says Rashi will agree it's muksa, because you don't have a mind to have any use from that fruit. You're not allowed to get to that fruit. It's still attached. In fact, the Ran asks, why does Rashi have to get involved with the issue of muksa? If it's asa, because you're not allowed to have anor from the malach of a guy, what's the difference if it's muksa or not? So there are a number of answers given. The Ran says, what would be the halacha if the guy specifically cut the fruit for himself? So now the concerns that Rashi and Tosfos raised aren't relevant. But still, says the Ran, there's a new concern. It's muksa. It was attached when Yonta began. Others say that if the whole problem were that you're not allowed to have hanor from the malacha's guy, you would not be allowed to eat the fruit. But perhaps you could move it. Now that it's muksa, you're not allowed to even move it. The Sasema says interesting teretz. If the issue is only that it's also because you're not allowed to have a nor from the malach of the guy, so let's say it fell into a pot and it's bottle, so it's bottle. But muksa we know never becomes bottle because we've been learning muksa is a davar sheishlei matirin. That's why Rashi had to establish that besides all the other problems that we have here, we have a problem of muksa. Also, the Pais can say, I should have mentioned this, that if the guy comes and he's mesich lefituma, he doesn't know the difference, yontif, not yontif, and he says that I cut these fruits before yontif, and he doesn't realize the difference of cutting it before yontif or during yontif, we could trust him. Only if he knows the difference. But here the shail is, even if the guy brought a toichat chum, that the Gemara is saying it's mutter, why is it mutter? Why shouldn't we be concerned that the guy had it in his warehouse and it became muksa? So some mafarshim say, based on this, that there is no concept of muksa on a guy's article. Something a Jew owns could become muksa, not something a guy owns. Others say, the best proof that it wasn't put away is that the guy brought it. If the guy brought it, isn't it a proof that it's not muksa? Because well, muksa, why is he bringing it? If he put it away, not to you, so he wouldn't be bringing it. Continues the Gemara, if the guy brought these fruits that were not attached, mechutz l'tchum, if he brought it on behalf of one Jew, another Jew could use it. So Rashi and Taisus explain, this is different. Here we are more mekel. Why are we more mekel? So they explain because tchum is only the Rabbanon. And since tchum is only the Rabbanon, that's why even though the Jew that he brought it for, and the Taisus can say the Jew he brought it for doesn't mean only that Jew, it means him and his entire family may not eat the fruit, but anybody else may. Another way why they're maker by tchum, I saw a very nice pshat. Tchum is a very relative issue. What's taichat tchum, chutz tchum for me, may be taichat tchum for you. If something was attached, it's also for everybody. Tchum is a very relative thing, it depends where you are. That's why chazal were more maker by tchumim. That's why the paiskim say, if there's a suffix, if the guy cut it on Shabbos, yontif, we're machma. If there's a suffix, if the guy brought it mechutz l'tchum or mitaychat tchum, we're mekel. Again, given the reason that we gave. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Arafun Amar Rav, Hasoicha Masamayim Erev Yontif. If somebody plugs up a fish pool, Erev Yontif, Ulamacha Hishkim Matzba Dogim, and the next morning he finds fish in that pool on Yontif, Mutarim. So as the Rambam explains the Gemara, even though we learned in the Mishnah yesterday, that whenever you catch fish, fish can never be considered trapped, and whenever you catch him, it's malacha tzeidon yontif. Here we can be mekel, because since it's such a small area, therefore we certainly consider the fish already trapped, and you can pick him up. What is the issue? The issue is that you have to make hazmana, you have to designate it. Plugging up this fish canal is the maisa hazmana. Others explain, and we mentioned this yesterday when we learned the Mishnah, there's a shaila how to understand Rav Shimon Gamliel at the end of the Mishnah. And some Mefarshim said Rav Shimon Gamliel at the end of the Mishnah was saying that even by fish, certain times it can be considered trapped. That's what the Gemara means here, that if you trap the fish, there is no issue of tzeda, and it's also considered you were mazmin them. Says Rav Chizda, Omer Rav Chizda, Medivir Rabbeinu Nilmet, we could extrapolate from this, Chaya Shekinen of a Pardis, if a bird has a baby bird in the field, Erev Yontif, you don't have to designate it. Because since this baby bird can't fly, if the baby bird can't fly, the fact that it was born in this field and it can't go anywhere, that's considered asmana. Amar Rav Nachman, Nafal Chavrim B'Ravisa. Our friend Rav Chizda put himself into the machloikus of great people. Because not everybody agrees to this. Ikadami, the Gemara digresses to show what where we feel he made a mistake, that it wasn't Rav Chizda, it was rather Amar Rav Rav Huna, the Divrei Rabbeinu Noma, just like the fish that were born in this trapped fish hole, are considered designated, similarly, Chaya Shekinen of a Paradis, and it's Rechazimun. It's considered already designated. And of that, says Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Nachman, Nofel Bar Chavron, our friend Rava, who is the son of our friend Rav Huna, fell in Baravasa in a big machloikus. Why? Because you can't compare the two situations. Hassam, by the fish tank that I plugged up, like covered mice, just the opposite. By the fish tank, I plugged it up, so that is considered an act of designation. Here, the bird was born on its own, I had nothing to do with it, that's why it's not considered an act of designation. And that's why By the fish, I don't have to do another act of designation. Don't I have to do an act of designation by the bird that was born on Erev Yontif? But Tanya learned in a braisa, if a bird had babies in this field,
Chai is a bird.
Here means a bird. We have to designate it. Similarly, Tzipadrar, we discussed it yesterday, a wild bird. We have to tie it to show active designation. And also, that we should know that this is the bird that we designated. This we learned from Shmai Vavtalyan. So what do we see here? That just because this baby bird was born in my field, Erev Yontif, it doesn't mean that it was designated. Not like what Rav Chisda or Rabbi Rafuna said, that just like the fish tank that was plugged up is considered designated, this too is considered designated. Ask the Gemara, is this true that their statement is refuted? Or me by Zeman, is designation required? For Tanya, Amram Shimon Alozer, Maidim, Beisham Beisilo, Alshaz, Minam Betoichakan. This is the Gemara that we learned earlier in the first paragraph. If somebody designated birds that are in the nest, if you remember, we learned the Gemara that there was one nest above another nest. The birds in one nest we designated. The birds in the other nest we didn't designate. Then we find birds in front of the nest, so we don't know if they're the birds we designated or not. That halacha is shesurim. We have to assume that these are the birds that were not designated. The medvar mamurim. Where do we have to make that assumption? The yoyin shayvich v'yoyin eliyah. By these types of different yoinim, doves, birds that are already grown, that could fly, avoizim, geese, v'tanagoylim, chicken, v'yoinim adesoyis, that don't travel, v'chayish, this little bird that was born, matarim, v'ein tzrichin zimon. So here we see, and this will be the kasha, that you don't have to make a hazmana. That the fact that they were born and can't go anywhere, Erev Yontif and Yontif, because they're still too small to fly, is considered designation. Corroborating what Rav Chisda and Rabbi Rafuna said. The Tzipa Dror, now repeats the Braisa, a wild bird, we have to tie its wings, to schalaf the ima, in order that it shouldn't get mixed up what is it and what is its mother. Furthermore, birds that were tied or handled, that are in babiris, that are in a pit, the bottom in the houses, the sichim are ditches, ma'arais are caves, mutarim, because I did a designation. If there be lonais, even though I designated them, they're asur. Why? We're concerned that you may go up and up the tree to take them down, and the halacha is you're not allowed to climb up the tree because you may come to tear off a branch. Now the Gemara says, the Braisa says, a sidin. Any bird that I designated, whether I tied it or handled it, become makom. As soon as I did that, asur mishum gezel. If I took a bird and I handled it or I tied it, no one else may touch that bird because it's considered my bird. Rashi says, why is it considered my bird? Because when I handled it or I tied it, I picked it up, and that's how I did a kinyan. Taisus says a very bechidish, that you don't have to even pick it up to do a kinyan. Since a bird is hefker, it's wild, just looking at it and designating that it should be mine is already considered a kinyan.
What does menunoi mean according to Tosos
here? It means I handled it, but I didn't pick it up. I just touched it. That's how Tosos learns. The Shita asks a different question. The Shita says the halacha is that if you come within dalat amos of something, it's considered a kinyan. So obviously if I tie the bird or I handle the bird, I was within dalat amos of it. So the Shita says that the halacha, that anything that's within your dalat amos becomes yours, is not applicable everywhere. In a Rishus HaRabim, it doesn't become yours. That's what the Gemara will be referring to. But what do we see from this Braisa? The Braisa digressed to a number of issues. But we see that little birds that are born on Erev Yontif, that can't fly, are considered designated. So what's the problem? Amar Rav Nachman Lekasha. Haba, haba imen. It doesn't require designation. Its mother requires designation. As the Mar Iman, the Zeman Sagula, is just designating a bird that can fly enough. Say the Ma'ayah Sabayi, because otherwise you can't trap it. So how do we resolve these two brises that contradict each other? Elam Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Idvi Idi B'dido. It's talking about the little bird. Ha Beginas Smuch Leir. If the little bird was born in a field next to the city, the Ritva says it's within 70 amos of the city, so you have in mind that that bird should be yours, and that's considered a designation, and that's why since the bird can't fly, so there's no issue of tzeda, it's considered designated. If it's not within 70 amos, then it's not considered designated, even though it can't fly. That's how we resolve the two brises. One brise says it's designated, one brise says it's not designated. There's an interesting machloikus rishonim that why is it going to be the halacha if it's past 70 amos from where you are, but you know about it. It's within the tum, it's between 70 and 2,000 amos. Some rishonim say that it's only without specific intent that we say everything within 70 amos is considered designated. But if you have specific intent, then you can have up to the tchum. Others say it makes no difference. 70 amos is the limit. But now ask Tosfos a gevaldige kasha. Tosfos asks that the Gemara, when Rav Chisda extrapolated that the little birds that are born are considered designated, so the Gemara says, Nafla b'ravrusa, he got himself involved over his head, Rabbi Rafuna. The Gemara says a beautiful teretz. That as long as those birds are within 70 amos, they can be considered designated. So why is the Gemara so upset at Rav Chisda? So Taisha says a teretz, which is relevant to whole Shas. Taisha says there's a very big difference when a Tana makes a statement and when an Amora makes a statement. When a Tana makes a statement, he makes a vague statement, and it's our job to understand what he says. An Amora who makes a statement has to explain what he says. If Rav Chisda meant, says Tosfos, that he's only referring to birds that are toichi bura shalir, that within 70 amos of the city, he should have said so. Why didn't he say so? He said, all little birds that are born are mutter. That's not true. The way we're explaining, it's only if they were within 70 amos of the city. So Rav Chisda still refuted, because Rav Chisda didn't make this distinction, that's incorrect, because we are saying it has to be within 70 amos of the city.
Where did he get 70 amos from?
Because that's what's considered within your immediate area. Before we learn the next Mishnah, it's worth reviewing the Gemara Masechta Pesachim that we learned together. It's always worth chazaring. The Gemara says there, Ha'oifim Yontif L'Choy. If somebody bakes on Yontif, cooks or bakes on Yontif for a weekday, Rav Chisda says Loike, he gets Malchus. You're not allowed to cook on Yontif for after Yontif. Rava Amo Eino Loike. Rav says you don't get Malchus. Why don't you get Malchus? Because the concept that we've been discussing so many times, Hoylo Mikalei Archim, guest may come, and if guests come, I will be allowed to, I may need this food. Ask the Gemara Rav Chisda, we're going to learn now in Mishnah that an animal that's on the verge of death, and if I wait till, I don't need to eat the animal, I already ate my Yontif food. But if I wait till after Yontif, till Shechtet, the animal will die, and then it's in the Vela, and it's worthless, I'm allowed to Shechtet, even though, as long as I can eat a small portion, as we'll learn. Ask the Gemara, according to Rav Chisda, it's Issa Deraisa. So the Gemara says that Rav Chisda agrees to hoil when there's a Shaila that he's going to have a Hefsed Meruba. And actually, the Rishonim also say that Rava has to rely on hoil, because even Rava, that says that we subscribe to Hoyle, that's only that it shouldn't be Nisa Daraisa. Medrabon and Rava agrees you're not allowed to prepare on Yontif after Yontif. So again, because we're dealing in a very specific, dire situation, animals, an expensive item, will die. If I don't shecht it, I will have lost a big amount of money. So the Chazal will make that under certain circumstances, even though I already ate my meal and I have no need to eat this food from this animal, I could shechter on Yontif. Says the Mishnah. Behemus ukenis lo yishchet. Tanakam says I can't shech the animal that's in this very serious situation. Elm kein yesh pshos b'yoyim lechel menek azayis tzli. As long as I still have enough time in Yontif that I can eat a kazayis of it, roast it. Like the Mefarshim explained, he's being makel. You only have to eat a kazayis and tzli. Normally, when we cook meat, we first have to go through a malicha process to extract the salt, and then we have to cook it. When you do tzli, you don't have to do malicha. That takes out the blood. So he says, just roast it, and if you can eat a kazayis, you're fine. Rekiva ima fil kazayis chayim beis tfichosay. Rekiva is even more makel. Rekiva says that as long as you can shecht and eat a piece of meat raw, a kazayas of raw meat, you're allowed to shech this animal. Again, because we're dealing in a very specific situation. And the Rishayim explained, Rabbi Kiva obviously holds that raw meat can be eaten without extracting the salt, because there's no dam shapirish. As long as the blood hasn't moved around, it may be eaten. Now the Mishnah says a different din, and the Rishonim say this has nothing to do with the first din. Shechta besada. If one shecht an animal on Yontif, and we've been learning a lot of shecht, the halach is la yivina b'mayta b'mayta. You can't carry it with poles or in the backs. Ava maybe biyadei evar mevar. It's an uvda dechol to carry it that way, so she carried it one piece at a time. The Mefarshim explain that even though by carrying it one piece at a time I'm going to end up walking more than if I would have carried it on a pole and a box, it's better to walk more than to do an uvda dechol. There are a number of points to be made when we learn this Mishnah. There's an interesting Avni Nezer. The Avni Nezer says that even though we're learning that on Yom Tov you're allowed to cook, you're only allowed to cook, says the Avni Nezer, if you're going to cook that every person you're cooking for will have a kazayis. But if you're going to cook that people's portions will be less than a kazayis, you're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov. And the Avni Nezer has two rayas. One raya is, we know on Shavuos they baked the shtei alechem. They brought the shtei alechem. But they didn't bake it on Shavuos, they baked it on Erev Yom Tov. Why can't they bake it on Yom Tov? Says the Avni Nezer, since they distributed the shtei alechem to all the kahanim, and every kohen got less than a kazayis, they're not allowed to bake on Yom Tov less than a kazayis. Another raya is our Mishnah. Our Mishnah were being makel. But what does our Mishnah say? You only can be mekel if you can have a kazayis. Less than a kazayis, there's no heter of oichel nefesh. That's what the Avni Nezer says. Most poskim disagree with Avni Nezer. They say that when Chazal told us, when the Torah told us that oichel nefesh is mutter on yontif, doesn't make a difference as long as I'm cooking for you to eat. I the Mishnah here says a kazayis. So they say one of two pshatim. Either whenever Chazal want to use a measurement, the smallest measurement, they use a kazayis, but it doesn't necessarily mean a kazayis give even less. Or here, as we've been learning, it's a special situation that we really have to make a kula. So Chazal didn't want to be makel for less than a kazayis to allow you to shecht if you're not going to eat at least the kazayis.
What about the question of shtei lechem?
Oh, so shtei lechem, they say, the answer is that since you could have cooked it, baked it as easily erev yontif as yontif, so they didn't want you to bake it on yontif. Good point. There's another shayla. Da'inig Yontif asks, Rav Kiva's the mandamah that we learned in the previous parak, that lechem v'afilu l'klovim, the oichel nefesh applies to your animals. So ask Da'inig Yontif, why does Rav Kiva have to go through this whole process? They have to shecht it, that you should be able to eat a kazayis of raw meat, give your animal to eat a kazayis. So oichel nefesh even for a behemah. So Da'inig Yontif gives two answers. One answer he says is, for a behemah I don't have to shecht. We're not allowed to eat nevela. For a behemah, why should I be allowed to shecht? Let it die, and the behemah could eat it. Even when it's an avela. A behemah doesn't have to keep hilchas kashrus. Moreover, says the Oinig Yontif, every time shechita takes place, there's tzoveya, because the blood comes out and it colors the base of shechita, the neck. So therefore, Chazal would not allow us to do tzoveya on behalf of a dog that could eat without shechita. That's why Rav Kiva says, you have to be able to eat, a human has to be able to eat a kazayis. Says the Gemara, Amar Rami Bar Abba, Hefshin Netuch Oila, the Torah tells us that every carbon oila has to be skinned and cut into pieces. For who adin, the katzovin. A butcher may not eat raw meat unless it's first skinned and cut into pieces. Mikan lim the Torah derecheretz, shla yoichel adin basa kaidim hefshin v'netuach. You can't eat meat until it's skinned and cut into pieces. And not only butchers. The reason he mentions butchers is because they're the ones that have a lot of meat available.
What's the reason?
Oh, ask the Ramai Kamashmon. What is Pshat and Rami Bar Abba? Elaimin, is he coming to tell us Lefukim and Rav Huna? Is he coming to tell us a halachic standard? Rav Huna holds, Dom Rav Huna, Behemah b'chayeh b'cheskes isra medes. An animal as long as it's live is asr. Why? So Rashi says because it's an Eivim Menachai. Taisa says because it's Ein Zavuach. It's not slaughtered. Ad shivad lach b'man nishkata. Until it's slaughtered. Nishkata. As soon as it's slaughtered, according to Rav Huna, the cheskes hitter emedes, it becomes mutter, unless you know actually vadla for man nitrifa. So is Rami Bar Abba arguing? Rav Huna holds that the animal, as soon as it's geshachtin, is kosher. And Rami Bar Abba says, no, you have to go through the bedika process, and otherwise it's not kosher. Or is Rami bar Abba just telling us something which is the proper thing to act, but it's not a halachic standard? Proves the Gemara from our Mishnah, that Rami bar Abba is only telling us something which is the right thing to do, but it's not a halachic requirement. Why? Because let's learn our Mishnah. But now it's Nisan Krafuna. Our Mishnah says like Krafuna. That now we just learned Rabbi Kiva Omer, a fil kezayis chami based tfichasoi, you shechted an animal. You could take a kezayis from where you cut the throat, my lamin based tfichasoi mamish, and you didn't do any bedikas. You didn't check if it's kosher, you didn't check if it's treif, you still could eat it. So we see that halakhically, as soon as the animal is slaughtered, it may be eaten. So the one, no. Maybe what the Mishnah means, maybe what the Mishnah means is the intestines. And that means you have to go through the skinning and the cutting up the animal, and only then that you eat it. So our Mishnah would be approved to Rav Huna. So the Gemara of Tanya Rav Chiya, Rav Chiya explicitly taught us, when Rekiva says in our Mishnah, means the neck. So we see here that you're allowed to eat the animal right away. So Rami bar Abba, El Rami bar Abba, says the Gemara, is not telling us a halachic requirement. He's teaching us that it's proper to wait to check the animal, if it's treif, to check all the internal organs, and then eat it. But not that it's halachically required. Kirtnan, Kirtanya, as we see in other places, a person shouldn't be quick to eat. It says, an onion, a garlic grows, there's the head, and then there are leaves. So there are two ways the Mefarshim explain it. One way is, if you're going to eat the onion from the top, you're never going to eat the leaves because they're not as good. Or, if you eat it from the top, you could right away eat it. If you have to take the leaves, you have to go a little slower. You have to peel off all the leaves. So it says you have to go slow. V'machel, if you just take a bite from the top, harezer rafsin. Consider a person that's a glutton. Kiyotzba, similarly. V'yishta adam kaisa v'bas achas. You shouldn't drink your cup in one shot. V'mshasa harezer garden. If you do it, it's considered you're a glutton. So I sort of a first ask, what's this language, kiyotzba? What's the comparison between the olive and the cup? So they say that even though, as we're going to learn now, you're not supposed to drink everything in the cup at one time, there is an exception to the rule on Shabbos. If you're drinking the Kiddush cup because of chavivas ha-mitzvah, because you love the mitzvah, you could drink it at one time. The same thing on an onion. Even though you're not supposed to, we say we're supposed to take the onion from the leaf side, but if you're eating it on Shabbos, so because of Suda Shabbos, you could eat it from the top. Tan Rabban says the Gemara Braisa, Shoyz Kais Bas Achas, if somebody drinks his cup in one shot, in one gulp, Hareza Gargrin, it's a glotten. Shnayim Dercheretz, that's proper. Shloisha Gasi Ruach, it's considered a glutton. However, the Paiskim say La Loch Lamaisa, it depends when and where. As we said on Shabbos, you could drink it in one time. If we're talking here that the size of the cup is a revius, let's say it's less than a revius, so you could always drink it in one gulp. Let's say it's a very large cup, so drinking it in more than three gulps is not considered a balgaiva. It's just a lot to drink. It also depends on the size of the person. It also depends, the place can say, on what you're drinking. Some things, a hot tea, it takes you a lot of sips. It's not considered a gas ruach if you drink it in many gulps. The Agdom to the next Gemara is that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu created is to teach us something. Everything teaches us something. Amar Rami bar Abba, Chatzuva. Chatzuva is a plant that is different than most plants. Most plants, the roots spread. This plant grows straight. It's vertical. And it was the plant, Rashi teaches us, that was used by Yeshua to make the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Because you don't have to worry. It's always a straight line. This plant, Mekatei Raglei and Rishoya. Mefarshim gives two pshat into this. One is, this plant shows us how careful we have to be not to steal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a plant to make sure that everybody's boundary stays in check. Another pshat is, a person tries to steal. So what is the antidote to his stealing? He tries to encroach in somebody else's property. What's the antidote? Planting the chatzuva, because that will be a clear boundary marker. Netiya. The halacha of netiya is that the halacha is that when you plant a new tree, a new fruit, you're not allowed to eat it for the first 3 years. Mekatei raglei de katzvaya, it comes against the butchers or the Baal HaNidah and the people who are Baal HaNidah. What does this mean? Here we plant something. We invest in planting a tree and we have to wait 3 years. We learned before, this is the way Tosfos explains the Gemara, beautiful. We learned before that the butchers used to eat the meat right away. And explains Tosfos, even though we explained halachically it's alright, Rami Bar Abba was only telling us that it's proper derech eretz to wait, but halachically you don't have to wait. But if you don't wait, what says Tosfos, what will happen like this? A butcher shechted a piece of animal. He didn't wait. He doesn't have to be Rami Bar Abba Jew. He eats right away. And he eats from the meat. And then afterwards they examine the animal and it turns out to be treif. Says Tosfos, is that person innocent? When he ate it, he thought it was kosher. So says Tosfos, he's not innocent. Because since he could have checked, and he was just in a rush to eat, says Tosfos, you're responsible to check. And if you didn't check, maybe you're not amazed, Tosfos says, but you're a shaydik. You can't be considered an oinus. When could you be considered an oinus? If you checked, and you did what you can, and then afterwards it turns out that it wasn't kosher, you did what you can. And this is a shayla of the Paiskin, the Panami Iris, and the Divrei Chaim discuss. Let's say somebody buys an item which is kosher, and then it turns out to be not kosher. What is his status? So most Paiskin say, you can't call him a shaygik, he didn't do anything wrong. But he's an oinus. And there's a machloikis ha-Paiskin that maybe an oinus also requires a kapara. When it calls, it requires a kapara. Certainly, however, Tosfos teaches us that if you could have checked more and you didn't check, then you're not just an oinus, you're certainly a shaygik. What's pshat Baal HaNidah? What's a Baal HaNidah? He can't control himself, he can't wait. The Netiyah, the Arla, tells us to wait. Asks the Masha, why do I have to bring a liar from the Arla? The Torah itself speaks about Nida. The din of Nida is not a derabbanan, it's a din of deraisa. So Masha answers, that we know that the Gemara says Mesicht and Nida, that Klai Yisrael are machmer, all sorts of chumras in Hilchas Nida, that they always treat their wives like a zava, we wait 5 days, and then 7 days, in filet tipastam, even a drop of blood, all of these chumras, a person should follow. They're not stam chumras, they're midrabbanan, they're in Shulchan Aruch. Where should we learn that a person should act that way? From the olive tree, that a person should learn to have patience. Tormasol, this vegetable that requires a lot of cooking, mekatei raglem d'sneim shel Yisrael. It comes to speak against d'sneim shel Yisrael, really means klal Yisrael. Shenamat, the pasuk says in Shoftim, v'yosifu b'nei Yisrael las tzara b'nei Hashem. They did what was wrong. V'yav v'sabolim v'sa'ashtrois v'salahei aram v'salahei tzidon v'salahei moyov v'salahei b'nei amoyim v'salahei pishtim v'yaz v'sashem v'levdu. So it says seven different avodah zaras that they served. So what, just like the turmis, the Mepharshim explained, needs to be cooked 7 times, so too, Klal Yisrael served 7 Avodah Zarah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to punish them. Because Mepharshim say beautiful pshat. The turmis starts off sweet. Then as it matures, it gets harder, and the more you cook it, it comes back to its original sweet taste. Klal Yisrael started with Avos, with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who were perfect. Over the years, we went off. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to bring us back. Mimash Hashanam v'yazus Hashem en yedui shaloi avdua, that they didn't serve matam aloi avdua. Omer v'leza, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I feel like a term is azeh. Klai Yisrael doesn't even treat me like this vegetable. Shesholkon I say 7 pomim, that we cook it 7 times. V'oichon I say, and then the edible b'kinuch suda. L'sonet banai. My children don't even treat me. I punish them 7 times for the 7 different avodah zarah that they serve, and they don't get the message. Says the Gemara, Tana Mishmei D'Rameya, Mnei Ma'an Nit Torah Yisrael. Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu give Klai Yisrael the Torah? Nation Azim. Klai Yisrael are very strong people, and they need the Torah to soften them up. The Rav Tzadik says, the Pasuk says, Lulei Sayroscha Shashuai Ozavadati Ba'ani. There are 2 ways to soften up a person. One is through making him poor. A poor person is usually downtrodden. And another way is through the Torah. Lulei Sayroscha Shashuai. If not that I had the Torah to take away this Azis Ozavadati Ba'ani, the only other approach would be poverty. Tanabe Yishmol. Memina Dosh Los Lomai. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ruam Helolu Shetanoslam Dos Eish. Klai Yisrael need a Torah which is fire to break them. Ikedamri, the same shall Elu Eish. The Torah is fire. Shall Melad Nita Tal Yisrael. If not that the Klai Yisrael got the Torah, Ein Kol Uma V'Loshin Yichayel Lamed Vifneim. No nation could stand in front of them. So Mefarshim explain here. Klai Yisrael being called Azus, that they have this Azus in them. So Azus, we know, it says in Pirkei Avos, as ponim legehenim. So is that something that we should be proud of? So Mefarshim explain, there are two types of Azus. The Mechas Ani explains this. There's an Azus that a person's on a chutzpanik, that is unacceptable, as ponim legehenim. But there's an Azus that a person remains strong in his belief. To be an Oyved Hashem, you have to be able to be strong in your belief. And that's pshat that we say the first sif in Shulchan Aruch. Hava'az kanema. You have to be strong. Mefarshim say there's two ways of understanding this Gemara. One is that we are strong people. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give us the Torah to break this Azus somewhat. And they say that that's why there's a din of Esek HaTorah, spending time harving and learning, not just learning, because that's what breaks the Azus. Another pshat is the Torah makes us strong. And because the Torah makes us strong, that's why we need to have Esek HaTorah to soften it up. And really, I saw the Mefarshim explain that those are the two ways of understanding a pasuk that we say all the time. Hashem oiz le'ama yitain, Hashem yivarach ama v'sholem. One way of understanding is like this. Hashem oiz le'ama yitain, ein oiz ala Torah. The Torah is considered oiz. You know why the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us oiz? To break us somewhat. And by breaking us, and we won't be such azus, the Mela Hashem Yivarach Samei V'Shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have shalom, because we won't be so strong-minded. Another way of understanding the pasuk is Hashem Oiz Lama Yite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, which is Oiz. So now we're concerned that we have this Torah, it will make us more azus, it will make us more strong-minded. So how will we be able to live one with the other? Tells us HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't worry. Hashem Yivarach Samei V'Shalom. Even though I gave you the Torah, which gives you this Azus, you'll still have the Brach of Shalom. V'hanei d'amar Shlokish, Gimel Azen Hein. Yisrael B'umais, Klai Yisrael is the strongest of the nations. Kela B'chayis, Tanagoya B'ayfis, a dog amongst the chayis, and a chicken amongst the fowl. So Mefarshim explain, they're stronger animals than chicken, than dogs. What makes them strong? But it's like we explained before. A dog is extremely loyal. It may not be the strongest animal, but it's loyal to its owner. A chicken is very reliable. Every morning, every morning it crows. That is what Klai Yisrael is. We're steady and strong in our Avodas Hashem. A goat amongst the small animals. It's a caperbush. So Rashi says, he doesn't know what makes a paper bush so strong. So Taisa says, the paper bush is very strong because it gives off all different types of fruit. It's edible. The fruit is edible. The branch is edible. It's very versatile. Or, Taisa says, we know that Kafrisin, we said in the Ketairis, was used to make the wine strong. So we see it's a strong beverage. I saw another pshat, is that one of the attributes of a caper bush is that no matter where it is, it always grows, even if there's no water, every month of the year. That is what makes Klai Yisrael great. No matter what circumstances we're under, whether we're in Golis, whether we have all sorts of tzaris, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klai Yisrael has this madrega of oiz. We stand steadfast in our avodas Hashem.